Greetings in Jesus' name. It's good to see each one here this morning again. Trust that we have received something this morning already. Believe that God has more in store for us still. Let's make sure this thing's turned off. Maybe we can just pause and have a time of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we do pause before you here this morning with thanksgiving. We thank you for this day. We thank you for the blessing that we have, the privilege we have of being gathered together here this morning, and to that we can be placed under the preaching of your word. And Lord, I just pray that as we look into your word further this morning, that you would just open our hearts to the things that you have for us. And Lord, that you would, again, that you would minister to the needs that we have, Lord. We are all people here, and Lord, we would all confess this morning that we are a needy people, Lord. And that is why we're here. We worship you because we know that you are a all-knowing God and a true God and a perfect God, and that you care about each one of us, Lord. And Lord, I do pray that as you see us, Lord, that you know the needs that we have and that you would just minister to those needs, Lord. Lord, I just pray that you would speak through me again here this morning, and that you would have your way, and Lord, that you would receive all the honor and glory. We just commit this service to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As I was thinking about sharing this morning, my mind went to Luke chapter 15, and I'd just like to look at that chapter here this morning and just stir our minds and hearts of what was happening here and see what we can get out of this chapter here this morning. As we look through this chapter here, and we see, and just before I start reading, I'd just like to just look at verse 7 a little bit and just see what happens when there's a people and there's a person that is lost, and what happens in heaven when this person is found. And we see that there is much rejoicing. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. And what I'm reading out of this verse here is, you know, there can be 99 people that are doing just fine and well. They have, life is going well for them. And God is saying here that, you know, when we, maybe just to back up a little bit, when we think about that, we see a group of people, a large group of people, and things are going well, and they're just doing okay. And then off to the side, there's this one person that is, you know, struggling along, that is lost and finally starts making headway, starts finding his way. And God says that there is more rejoicing over that person that is finally getting a handle on life and finding his way than over the 99 people that have already figured that out. And I think that, that's exciting when we think about that. So this morning, the title that I would like to leave with us, or the thought, is "The Joy Heaven Experiences When the Wandering Person Is Found or Finds Himself." When we think about these, you know, we think about success in numbers. We often, you know, as a people, we tend to look at percentages. You know, if we lose 1% of, you know, if we're doing business in 99% of our efforts were successful, and 1% of our efforts were lost, and we don't know what happened. You know, we look at that, and we're mostly probably satisfied with that. But we see here that in this chapter, as we're going to read this chapter, that, you know, that's not God's heart. God isn't just looking out at the 99 people that are okay, but he's looking at all 100 of the people. And that this morning includes every one of us in this room. And he has his eye on you. And if we're not doing okay, he knows about it. And he would like to do something about that. You know, in our way of thinking, if the unemployment rate is under 5%, it's like life is pretty good. And, you know, we try not to think about the 5% that don't have work, or we, it's like, you know, that's our tendency, you know, unless we're part of that 5%. You know, we often look at the price of chasing that last, you know, the little bit that we're losing, you know, the cost of chasing down the things that we're losing is like, well, it's not really worth it. It's going to take too much of my time and energy. But we see that God doesn't think that way. He doesn't see things that way. So in chapter 15, starting in verse 1, Jesus here then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." We see here two different groups of people coming to Jesus. There was a group of people here that had needs and had problems in their lives. And it would appear like maybe, you know, problems that many people, you know, they didn't want to associate with. They wanted to have some distance between themselves. And the Pharisees and scribes, you know, this didn't look good to them. "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." And Jesus continued here in verse 3, "And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he has found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." In verse 7 here, "I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. In verse 8, either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, does not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she has found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And then in verse 11 here, in the parable of the lost son, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed the swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And he began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father has killed the fatted calf, because he has received him safe and sound. He was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which has devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. As we read this chapter and read through these parables that Jesus taught here, we can see the heart of God here, and that he, those that lose their way, that his heart for them to repent and to turn back, that he is there for them. And as we, you know, the different points here we see in this chapter, he will, the first one here, he will let you make your own choices. You know, he's going to, like the son here, you know, the son told his father what he wanted to do. And he wanted to go experience something else other than what he was experiencing. And the father here in this parable said, okay, you know, here's your portion of the inheritance. Go and do with it what you want. And so he didn't hold him back. God shows his value for you. In this chapter, we see that we have value. And it is all, it is everyone included. We see that God is searching for us. He is looking out for us. He, you know, if we're down in the pig pen, we see that God is watching. And we see also that if we come to our senses, as this son did and chose to come back to the Father, that he will welcome us back. He will welcome us home if we have a heart that is a heart of repentance, a heart that wants to change. And also that, you know, we see him celebrating when the lost are found, when our hearts and souls are restored, that we see celebration going on. We see it here in the last part of the chapter when the father and son were together again. And we also see it in verse 7 there. I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. As I was looking at this chapter here, something that stood out to me here is in verse 8 to 10, you know, when there's a piece of silver that is lost, when there's something lost in our lives that is important, that, you know, there's, if it has value, we will do whatever it takes to find that. And, you know, in verse 8 there, you know, it says, you know, a candle was lit. You know, we needed light so we can see. And you start cleaning things up. You know, the floor, the house was swept out, and everything that had no value was moved and cleaned up. And, you know, there was one goal in mind, and that was to find the treasure that was lost. And so we, you know, when God sees a heart that makes a turn like that after we lose something, He will honor that. He will give us what we're looking for and help us to find that. In Luke chapter 4, verse 18 here, Jesus is speaking, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. We see Jesus' words here. You know, he wants to bring healing into our hearts and lives, and often I think that, you know, when we are struggling in life, often we feel like that one sheep, you know, that's out there, and you know, it's the enemy's way of, you know, pushing us out. You know, there's things that happen, and we start. It's like, well, it's just, you know, I'm all alone, and it's not true. You know, when we look in God's Word, we see over and over that Jesus has His eyes on us, and if we are hurting and we feel like we're alone, that if we're believing that, we can be assured that we're not listening to God's voice, because we have many promises that Jesus is right there with us. In Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6, we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. And we see the tendency of, you know, it's talking about us as people. You know, we tend to go our own way. We tend to you know, lose sight of our shepherd sometimes, and then we find ourselves in places that we don't want to be. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And, you know, that's what, when we have our hearts on Jesus, and he wants us, the relationship that we have with him, he wants us to experience that with one another. And he doesn't want us to be alone. And I'd just like to turn to Psalms chapter 34. And just look at the life of David here in this chapter. And as we look here, David was blessing the Lord in the beginning of the chapter. But just like to point out what was happening in his life here. Saul was out after David. And not only did he want to make his life miserable, but Saul wanted to kill David. And David was fleeing for his life. And so David, so to speak, went over to the next town, I believe, and tried to find refuge with the Philistine king there, I believe, and figured out very quickly that wasn't going to work. And the way he managed to get out of that is David pretended to be insane or crazy, like he lost his mind. And he was able to walk out of that and walked away with his life. And if we start reading here in verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Seems like we heard something about, you know, the things that we think this morning already, you know, focusing on the Lord, focusing on worshiping Him and bringing praise to Him. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. What is he saying here in verse 3? He's encouraging someone, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Maybe he's alone here, but he's inviting people. You know, God is good. What did he just come through? You know, he about lost his life. And he went to another place and it wasn't much better there. He must have felt pretty alone. But here in verse 3, and let us exalt his name together. You know, that sounds like pretty encouraging words there coming from someone that's been not experiencing good things. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and save us such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Many promises here. In the beginning, we see a heart to pursue God, to worship him, and to look at what he has done for us. And we have promises in the end here, you know, of if our hearts, if we are tender and open towards him and seeking him, you know, he's not going to leave us. He's walking with us through these things. And so we have, if we see these verses here, you know, we are not alone when we're going through hard times. And if we feel like we are, maybe we're listening to the wrong voice. We see that David experienced God here. When we experience pain, you know, that crushes, you know, our spirit, our desire, and makes us want to give up. You know, when we reach out like David did here, we can experience revival in our heart, and something that motivates us to go on. In when we think about that in everyday life, you know, if I tried to do on my own what David did there and come out as he did in chapter 34, it's like, nope, it's not going to happen. You know, I'm not going to succeed in doing that. But if I allow God to minister to my spirit and I spend some time with him and I listen to his voice, I can experience healing. I can experience strength coming back. And I can experience, yes, I'm moving forward. And so, you know, what are some of the things that maybe we find ourselves alone in sometimes that we feel abandoned in? What are those things that do that to us? And, you know, as I was thinking about some of those pains that, you know, we need healing from time to time, that things that probably, if we're honest with ourselves, we've all at times had to work through these things. You know, we think of betrayal or rejection or regrets that we have. And, you know, we need to do something with those. And we can, if we go to Psalms 34 here, we see that David did something with what he had experienced there with Saul. He was obviously rejected. His life was on the line. And he had to do something with that. That was real stuff. And he, obviously, when we come to chapter 34 here, he was not holding it. He was not holding it in his own hands anymore. He had given it to God. Because we know that, you know, if he would have been hanging on to those things, he would have not been able to rejoice and bless the Lord, because they would have been top priority in his life. They would have squashed the worship that we see happening in verse 3. And so he had to have given those things to God and said, you know, I'm just going to surrender those things to you and let you deal with them and just worship you and see, you know, thank you for saving my life. And so I was just blessed by looking at that, David's experience there. And so as David received God's love there, so God is extending his love, his comfort for us. And, you know, which doesn't matter, you know, which part of the sheep we are, you know, if we're the 99 and we still need that. But if we're one of those sheep that is out there and we feel like, you know, we just got bruised and bitten, and God is extending His love, His comfort to you. And He wants to, as we saw in Luke there, He wants to help you to find healing. And He will, you know, as we receive that hand of healing in our lives, it will bring joy. You know, it doesn't focus on the past time that was wasted, but when there's repentance, it brings joy to God, and to heaven will rejoice over the healing that is experienced in hearts and lives. I brought something along here that I'd like to show you all, and it's just a bunch of golf balls. But for most of us, all that we see here is a box of golf balls. And probably a lot of us wouldn't put a lot of value on these. And if I was to ask you what the difference is and how much value each one of these has, I'm guessing that many of us is like, oh, they're just golf balls. It's like, oh, some of them have nice colors, and we might pick one out. But there's someone here that knows these golf balls, and they have different value, and he knows where they came from, and he looked for them, and he found them in the weeds and bushes. And Nathaniel, if you would want to come up here and just help me explain some of these golf balls here. Do you remember when you found this golf ball?
We found it in, it was behind a thorn bush, I think.
Okay. Is this a good golf ball?
One of my better ones.
That's a better one. Do you know how much that one's worth?
Not really.
You don't? Okay. What's the difference between this one and maybe one of these white ones? Like, how do you know?
It's kind of the same ball. One is red, though.
Oh, okay. So, and you remember picking these up and finding them in different places?
Yeah, some of them.
So, anyway, I think we get the picture here. You know, Nathaniel spent time looking for these, and he found them in different places. And if I was to pick, some of these are probably more special to him than others, but if I was to pick one of these golf balls up and just hide it, he would very quickly notice. Like, there's a whole bunch here. You know, if one of them disappeared, he would know that it's like there's a missing golf ball. And so you can go back to your seat. Thank you, Nate. So we see that you know, when, you know, Nathaniel is the owner of those golf balls, he found them, and so they have more value to him than they do probably to most of us. Some of us might take care of them like he does, but most of us would probably, you know, start just, you know, it's like, we got a bunch of them. Let's go play golf. And three or four of them get lost. And, you know, if one of those golf balls gets lost, that's a problem. And, you know, there's a lot of time spent looking for it till hopefully it's found again. And so I guess, you know, as we see that picture, I'd like to just paint that picture in our lives with us and God. You know, there's a 100 sheep, and we tend to think it's like, well, you know, that's a lot of sheep, and how are we going to keep track of them all? But God does keep track of each one of us, and he knows you by name, and he knows where he found you. He remembers the times that you got lost. And he remembers the times that he had a hard time finding us again. He remembers all of that about each one of you. And he would like to, in the end of the day, when he's done playing golf, he would like to see this full. His desire isn't to have one of these golf balls missing, because they have value. And it's not complete if there's one missing. So as we see in Luke, we see value written there. So God has value written over each one of us. And he's walking with us regardless of the road that we're experiencing. And so let's not forget that. In closing, in John chapter 16, verse 33, in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. May God bless.